Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our third reading is from Matthew chapter 10. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be of those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So by now, you pretty much better have all of your Christmas plans set in place. December 25th is very close, so there's no more guessing or hoping things get accomplished, no more wishing. You need some concrete plans. For example, who is coming to your house for Christmas? When are they arriving? Who's staying with you at your house? What are you planning for dinner? Have you accounted for all of the diets around the table? The paleo, the keto, the gluten-free, the dairy-free, the peanut-free diets, all of which will be around your supper table. You see, all of that takes some planning, doesn't it? And of course, those plans depend on you actually getting everybody to the same table at the same time. Because you all know that you have guests, some guests, who tend to show up at least a half an hour early, while there are others who think that a 1 o'clock dinner is actually 3 or 3:30. And you probably better be careful with your seating chart as well, depending on who's coming. You don't want to set the wrong person next to the wrong person. You want everyone to get along for supper. You see, our Christmas celebrations can call for control. We just might have peace, we think, if we can get all these people to the right place at the right time. And if only everybody would listen and do what the plan tells them to do, then maybe we could have peace. It's the hope of every grandmother that is planning out Christmas dinner for Sunday or Monday, whenever you are going to have the whole family gathered together. Planning and control. This is the theme for our pursuit of peace tonight. So tonight, we finish the star that we have been covering. I printed it. I ran out of room on the back, so I printed it on the bottom of the inside cover of your bulletin. So if you recall, though, this is the star. Each point of the star is representing a certain pursuit that we have trying to accomplish peace for ourselves. And if you recall, the first point, the top point of the star, was the empty search for more and more possessions. If we could only get this latest and greatest thing, then we think we might have peace. But God, of course, stops us with the baby in the manger. With God lying in the manger, we have more than enough. We find our peace only in Him. And then last week, we were looking for peace in the two horizontal points, and we said that those represented a search, a distance, right? So we have either the perfect peaceful place somewhere far, far away that we want to escape to, or maybe try to forget and get away from our past and the sins and the mistakes that we made in the past. But again, God stops us. He comes and He catches us in the present tense. Because peace, of course, is not in some far, far away place, but in this very moment with our Lord and Savior Jesus. So God is present now with us to bring us peace, even in the midst of the storm. And tonight, then, we have the last two points of the star. Those are the bottom two, right? This is where all the weight sits on the star. The first point that we're talking about is trying to wrestle control by planning everything, making sure everything is in detail, planned out, and just right. So that's the first point on the bottom. The second point on the bottom is our trying to control other people and make them follow our plan, thinking that if making them follow our plan, if they just only would obey what we say, then all these plans that we made, then we might have peace. To manage, then, the heavy weight that all of our plans have, we feel like we need to take control. If we just had enough control, then maybe there could be peace. And wouldn't it be reasonable to expect that God would help us with such a task? Shouldn't God want us all to be at peace, at least for one weekend, Christ's birth? Shouldn't we all be at peace? After all, Isaiah 9, we said, the promised Messiah is called the Prince of Peace, right? So wouldn't it be fitting then that the celebration of his birth would be celebrated in peace? Hebrews 12, verse 14 tells us, strive to be at peace with everyone. Paul reminds us in our epistle, our second reading for tonight from Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible. But I wonder, is it even possible for us to control our world, to control our lives, to control our supper even, in such a way, enough control that to the point that we can manufacture and force this peace? Getting everyone to follow our plans, controlling other people, the second point of the star. If you remember, the first point is the planning, right? Can that then become our pursuit for peace, our striving, our purpose, control. But when you discover that you can't control other people, even though you're trying, even though you're busy getting ready for Christmas, there's so much to do. When you discover, though, that you can't control other people, you might ask yourself, why am I doing all of this? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort to get ready for Christmas. Why even bother? And if you're wondering that, probably about time for you to find true peace and to find a true purpose for life. Once again, God comes to us and he stops us in this pursuit for peace, this endless pursuit for control, because peace is not found in our tight grasp over other people. It's not found in our best laid plans. And the sooner that you realize this, the more at peace you will be, the better off you will be. Because peace comes through the Prince of Peace. It is his kingdom that brings with it peace. And it is his work as the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, that gives order to our chaotic and messed up world. If we pursue peace through our own control over things and over other people, Jesus comes and shows us another control. That's in our gospel, in our third reading from Matthew 10. Jesus asks, do you really expect me to bring peace? He says, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He came to set two against three, three against two, even dividing family members one against another, unbeliever, believer. So this is the very opposite of our striving, of our wrestling for control and demanding outward peace. We want peace that comes from everyone just getting along, even if that includes compromising, even if that includes compromising with the truth of God's word. We just want them to get along. Better yet, if only they would just agree with me, everything would be at peace. But what brings peace into the world? Jesus brings peace. And he does it by stepping into the middle of our troubled, chaotic world, by letting himself be the center of that chaos and all of the world's anger directed at him. And in that center, he brings us peace through the cross. Peace comes in what seems to be chaos. Our best laid plans might not even last one meal. Strive as we want, it might not even last. But this peace, the peace that Christ brings, the peace that the Prince of Peace brings, his kingdom lasts for thousands and thousands of years, forever. His peace, like his kingdom, is without end, we heard in our Old Testament reading. He comes to us as wonderful counselor, as mighty God, as everlasting Father, as Prince of Peace, so that his peace might reign over us and indeed over the whole world. And this gives us a new peace, and it gives us a new purpose. The star of peace doesn't rest on our own plans and our own striving for control. God doesn't come by the control of others. God's peace doesn't come to us when we try to control other people. Peace comes to us when we hear God's word, when we receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and when we allow that word to control us, then we're at peace. So we might not be able to corral everyone at the right time and the right place this coming weekend. Our plans might not work out perfectly according to our plan. But the real goal is to focus on God's plan. God's plan, which has been fulfilled and will always come true. God fulfilled his plans. He made peace. He has given us peace. He made it, he built it, by the straw in the manger and by the wood and nails of the cross. He made that peace through the ages of promise and the waiting that we had in the Old Testament of his coming. And the gift of the Prince of Peace came by God's perfect planning and by God's perfect timing. It might have seemed like chaos, but it was exactly as God intended, according to his plan. His son was born at just the right time. So the gift of peace has come into the world through the birth of a child, the very Son of God. The Prince of Peace has come, and he brings with him the gift of peace. For the birth of the Son of God is our peace. His death and his resurrection is our peace. And that peace has gone on for thousands of years, and it will continue. It goes on and on and on. What brings us peace when so many of our plans are left unfulfilled? Or when so many of our plans are unfollowed? We find peace rests not in our plans, not in our control or lack thereof, not in our own work, but it is built on Christ. And it is given to us by following him where he leads in his kingdom, the very Prince of Peace. He filled the manger and the cross, and it is there where we find our peace. So Jesus bears all the weight of our peace, all of it. And our peace then rests safely and securely on him, not ourselves. And trusting in all that he has accomplished, all that he has done for us to bring us peace, we have peace here and now, and we have rest here and now, and we have it for eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.